First, an introduction to today's message. So the characters of Ice Age are back, and it's the fifth movie in this series since the movie first aired in 2012. So I was thinking to myself, obviously they're doing something right, because the comedy of this movie continues to spiral onward. In this movie, as you saw in the clip, the world is on the brink of extinction, and these characters have to figure out how to deal with this huge asteroid that is barreling down on the world. The collision course has been set, the end is imminent, and these prehistoric heroes must come to terms with the fact that everything they know is about to end. Obviously, the comedic geniuses from 20th Century Fox, they're going to make this scenario fun and funny and a little bit outrageous. But imagine for a moment that this isn't just a cartoon movie. Imagine if the science fiction books and the movies that use this great big image of a collision happening in the sky was real. You have to wonder, what are the odds that as we sit here today, as we're flying around the sun at about 19 miles per second, which is about 67,000 miles per hour, you have to wonder, is it possible that we might really hit something out there? Even in my rose-colored glasses world that I live in, it makes me pause to think, what are the odds? If instead of sitting here today talking about a movie, what if we were discussing the reality that there really was some great big giant collision towards which we were heading? Imagine that. What if there really was a great big asteroid that was bearing down on us, even as we sit here this morning, and our future was inevitably coming to a close? We don't like to think about this very often. In some ways, I think it scares us to think about this reality. But the truth is that eventually all life, will come to a close. We don't have to be hurtling through space, being prepared to meet this big rock. We're all on a collision course that we can't ignore. That's the collision course of time. There are times when talking about our mortality fills us with fear. But it's also a sobering thought to realize that every living thing on this planet is born, it lives, and then it dies. No one escapes this pattern. No one escapes this law. All of us are walking in the same direction. We're all in the same boat together. Now, I know you're looking at that and you're saying, Pastor Doug, that was a cartoon. This is an awfully heavy thought to place on top of a cartoon movie. But here's the thing. This concept of a collision course in life makes me wonder, what are we doing with our lives? What is our purpose? why do we go to bed, wake up, and do what we do each day? Why do we let our anxieties have the control that they have in our lives? What about the paradigm by which we make our choices? What are the priorities that you set in life? What are the places that you spend your time, your energy, your money, your passion? Here's another question. What are your goals in life from today looking forward? Do you know where you're heading tomorrow? Next year, 5 years from now. See, here's what I think. I think that we're all on this earth, and we're spinning, and we're flying, and we're moving, and we're doing, and we're chasing, and we're being, without understanding that we are on a collision course. We act as if time is not limited, and so we're not as intentional with the time as we could be. But as soon as we realize that time is limited, it changes our perspective. It changes the way we live. Hypothetically, if I was to tell you that while you're here in the service this morning, I've actually contracted with a team of mechanics, and they are right now swapping out the gas tank in your car. And they're replacing it with a newfangled special gas tank that literally can help you drive for 200,000 miles. Your car will now go for essentially the life of a car. So when you leave here today, you can get in the car and you can just drive. You can drive home, drive to work, drive to the store, you can drive on vacation, go anywhere you want. You can just drive and you never have to pay for another gas tank, fill up again. But then, what if I told you that those mechanics, I actually didn't swap it out for an unlimited gas tank, but what if I told you that now your car is being swapped out with a limited, one-serve-only option? You can fill up the tank one more time. We'll take care of that. We'll fill it up for you. But at the end of that tank, you run out of gas permanently. You'd be much more thoughtful about where you go, where you travel, how you would get where you wanted to go. You would maximize your travel time. And you would pay attention to where you wanted to be when you finally ran out of gas. Knowing that there is an end matters. Knowing what the end looks like matters. And knowing where you want to end up when the end comes matters too. Turn with me, if you will, to Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 through 14, which is found on page 1919 of your Pew Bibles. And we will continue to look at this concept of trusting God. Revelation chapter 5. Verses 11 through 14, found on page 1919 of your Pew Bibles. Now, as you turn there, let me pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this passage here in Revelation, which inspires us and encourages us, and maybe even spurs us on to understand our purpose in life. We pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation chapter 5, verse 11. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, "To him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." The four living creatures said, "Amen," and the elders fell down and worshipped. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Someday, there will be an end. Someday, there will be an end. Do you know what the end looks like for you? The book of Revelation has puzzled the church for generations. And even to this day, it remains a mystery. It's a collection of over 60 visions that the Apostle John had and recorded to help us better understand God. And while the numbers and the symbols and the imagery can be confusing at times, the main points of the book are not confusing. Central to the book is the existence, the power, the sovereignty, the justice, the wisdom, and the goodness of God. These are the themes that the church sees when the church looks to the end of all things. Here in Revelation chapter 5, John sees angels, tens and tens of thousands, all praising Jesus, giving him honor and praise. They're crying out that Jesus is the one who was slain for all people, and because of this act, he is to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength. All the creatures in heaven and the sky and the land and the sea, they all cry out to Jesus to be praised forever. This is the picture of the end. At the end, this is what's waiting for us who believe that Jesus was slain for us. It is a picture of Jesus. Nothing and no one can rival him. He sits upon the throne in ultimate glory, and he is wise and just in his dealings with those within his creation. God is good. He made the earth and all of us for his glory. And in the end, he restores us to the former glory, something that our minds can't even comprehend. But it's described as a place where the roads are paved with gold and rubies. There's no more suffering, no more pain, no more heartache, no more war. There's peace in this place. This is the place that I want to be. This is the place that is waiting for us at the end. Someday there will be an end. Do you know what the end looks like for you? And do you know where you want to be when your life comes to an end? When you run out of gas, do you want to be close to home? Or do you want to be far, far away? Recently I was talking with a friend of mine, and he was telling me about a coworker of his. And this coworker at the end of the day would always come to the bar for a drink or two. And during the conversation, it came out that this man does this because he says he has to unwind from his day. Every night, he'll swing by the bar. Every night, he will have a drink or two to unwind from his day because it helps him get to sleep at night. As my friend relayed the story to me, he told me that he was sad for his colleague because the thought came to him, what happens when it's not enough? What happens when two drinks aren't enough? What happens when that man can't rely on alcohol to help him sleep? This man is running through life. He's screaming through the cosmos. He's hurtling on day after day after day. He's hoping for an end to the pain, yet afraid of what the end might mean. This man is restless. He's restless. But what if instead of being restless, he rested in Christ? What if he knew what was waiting for him at the end of the line and it was good and it was safe? Would that change the emptiness or the longing that he feels? Would that change yours? Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon 10,000, not thousands upon thousands, and 10 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that's in them saying to him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. The four living creatures said, "Amen," and the elders fell down and worshipped. Knowing that there's an end matters. Knowing what the end looks like matters. And knowing where you want to end up when the end comes, that matters too. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we are all on a collision course. And Father, we desperately want to pay attention to each and every day. So God, if we're sitting here today and we are feeling lost, if we are feeling confused, if we're feeling hopeless, God, it's my prayer that you would fill that place for us. Help us to be encouraged, to know that you are the one who provides hope. God, help us to understand that you don't leave us alone. And so, God, each and every day is a new day. It is a new start. It is a new opportunity for us to grow closer to you. So, God, help us to fulfill our purpose as we set our sights on you. We pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen.